for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2012 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, November the 24th, 2012. Kyle Neese is the speaker of the morning, teaching on the work of the Holy Spirit.
Brother Kyle Neese is going to come and share the word this morning. We're thrilled to have him back. And
amen. You know, I thought in all the songs, everything that was sung, it was, I believe that's what God, you know, didn't you feel the presence of God? And you know, just the wording of the songs had to do with, you know, what only the Spirit of God can do to make us free. You know, and I wrote this down, something Joseph said, it blessed me. Bear with me just a minute, because I want us just to take just a minute and pray over some things before we begin. But, you know, I had this thought, you know, I wrote this down. Joseph said something about the heart of God being moved, and I wrote this down. If God's heart, your words of praise, your songs of praise, if God's heart could be moved, where would it be moved to? If God's heart could be moved today, where would it be moved to? Where do you think? Do you suppose you're the object of His love? Would you suppose that? I mean, we don't get that, though. I thought of a song, you know, that kind of talks about God's love and how He dances over us, He sings over us, you know, in the heavenlies and places we don't see. He does things. He's moved on our behalf. He lives at the right hand of God to make intercession for you and me, and we don't get it. He says, I love you, and we don't get it. He says, I love you, man, I don't really comprehend it. You know what I'm saying? We sing about His love. We sing about He set us free, and sometimes we don't get it, do we? But God wants us to get it. I believe He wants us to engage just a season, just to pray. Just a minute. For those of you pray, I know. I want you just to. We're going to take a season, and I'm asking you to pray. Pray for an anointing that breaks every yoke. Pray for an anointing this morning that can break off a yoke, and that God could be moved and moved on us. So that I say, yes, Lord, God, I need to receive from You and from what only You can do in my life. I need You to break off every yoke of oppression. It's just not something that's. I'm able to do. God has to do that. And it's something mighty about His presence when He shows up. It liberates me. If His heart could be moved, it's to be moved toward you, toward me, so that I might could comprehend His love and that I might get it. Because, you know, you and I are not inclined to get it. We're just not going to get it. You and I would not get it apart from the work and the power of the Holy Spirit that we pray for. I believe God says, I want you to ask for me. Ask. The Holy Spirit is for the asking, folks. And He's saying this morning, I want you to ask. I believe even in the songs that were sung, it were songs about that move of the Holy Spirit and what He could do to set us free. And I believe He wants us to engage that just for a season. Those of you who pray in the Spirit, pray as God leads you to pray. But we just want us just to pray, to maintain that attitude of worship, but to pray, God, send the move of Your Holy Spirit and cause us just to comprehend that every evil thing be put aside. Pray with me. Let's just pray. Lord, we thank You. Lord, we just bless You. We just give praise to You, Lord. Glory to You. Just pray as God gives you liberty. Lord, we bless You. Thank You. We ask You for the move of Your Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy Spirit, we ask You to come. We thank You, Lord, for the move. We bless You, Lord. Worthy is Your name. We bless You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Glory to You. Lift your voice to God and pray. Bless You, Lord. Faithful is Your name, Lord. Thank You for Your presence this morning. Thank You for the song of praise. We ask You, Lord, be moved. Spirit of God may enable you to pray out. You do that. God lead you to do that. We bless You, Lord. We thank You for the liberty that's in Your presence, Lord. We thank You that Your presence makes us free. Thank You, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank You for Your anointing, Lord. Bless You, Lord. Bless You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Come over us, Holy Spirit. We ask You, Lord. For You cause every heart to receive from You this morning, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank you for the power that you have within yourself, Lord, and by the work of your Spirit to subject all things to yourself. Lord, we thank you, Father. We ask that you put the enemy to flight in our life. We ask that you would move the enemy off of our life. Move him off of our thought life, Lord. So that in Jesus' name, Lord, we might think like a son of God. And we might think, Lord, like sons and not slaves. We ask you, Lord, move him off in Jesus' name. Bless you, Lord. Thank you for the victory that's in your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for your people. Thank you for the body of Christ. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit this morning that comes to make us free. We ask you, Lord, we ask you that your Holy Spirit to call everything to attention, Lord, that needs to be dealt with, that, Lord, you might move on our behalf. Put the enemy to flight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You ever notice how Jesus, I love how Jesus spoke to the enemy. You know what I'm saying? He turns to Peter and he says, "Get behind me, Satan." He doesn't mince words. He doesn't go on and on about it. He just, "Get behind me, Satan. You're not putting your interest on God's interest." You ever notice how Jesus just speaks to the spirit and it's gone and done. It's over. And he's moving on. You know? And sometimes I think, Lord, why can't we, why do we sometimes are long about getting it? And I think, you know, it gets back to the move of God sometimes and, you know, back to that love song that we sometimes fail to comprehend. You know, I think when we were singing that song, I was touched. I was just moved just in that moment. That song I hadn't heard in a while. The kings and kingdoms all pass away, but there's something about that name. You know, sometimes I don't know what. And I thought it occurred to me, what is that about? Well, something about that name. It's His love. That's what's about His name. He wants to communicate His love to my heart so much that it breaks my heart. I think He wants to break your heart over that love. If He can break your heart over that love, He will have control on your life. Our problem sometimes with the enemy and putting him to flight is because we've missed the place of brokenness where He's broken our heart and He's really touched our life like we should. And we need that work for Him to do. We need the Holy Spirit's, the move of the Holy Spirit to come in our life. We've been looking at the Holy Spirit and His move just a little bit over the last number of weeks where we're at and in East Texas. I just want to share a few scriptures with you. It's in Luke 3 and John 1 in particular. They deal with what's being said about Jesus that says that when He comes, He says to John, He's going to be the one to whom you see the Spirit descending like a dove, right? Jesus was born by the Holy Spirit. It was entirely a work of the Holy Spirit. So that work of the Holy Spirit is what gave Jesus His unique identity. We all agree on that. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that He's trying to pass on to me. He's trying to impart to me. He has imparted to me, but He's seeking to impart. It's that work of the Holy Spirit. And I woke up with this thought a number of days ago, and this thought it was like the thought of the day, and it was this. I wrote it down. Satan seeks to trick and to deceive. He's the great identity thief. He wants to steal your identity. Jesus' identity was entirely defined by the Holy Spirit. That's it. That defined Him. It's what made Him who He was the Holy Spirit. He was born by the Holy Spirit, part God, part man. It was the signifying work of the Holy Spirit that would descend upon His life. John would say, "This is the one." It identified Him, and He seeks to give me that identity, but the enemy seeks to steal that every day of your life. He didn't want you to live after the Holy Spirit. You know, you stop and think about it. Sometimes we don't get that. We're talking about the unholy spirit. We've seen that, sure enough. But the Holy Spirit, He comes to make us holy. That's why He's called the Holy Spirit. I mean, I know, you know, not to be too simplistic. You would accuse me. I would be accused of being too simple. But you know, the truth is, He's the Holy Spirit. He's come to make us holy. That's not complicated. And we need His move in our life. We need to call upon Him. We need to earnestly call upon Him. Or else, you know, we're done. I think David realized through his sin, he was done in Psalm 51 if he didn't have God's Holy Spirit. "I'm not going forth from here." He says, perhaps for the first time in his life, "Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit." I've seen the wrong spirit of murder. I've seen the spirit of lust and murder and adultery. I've taken a man's life. Oh God, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. You know, sometimes we need to recognize, what's your Holy Spirit I need? The Holy Spirit comes to convict me. where once I was convicted about some things and I changed my way and my behavior. I heard Bonnie Mulkey's wife say, just on a tape actually, I was here when she spoke a number of weeks back, and we had a CD that I was listening to a little bit, and I remember just she said, the one thing that caught my attention, she said, was that, you know, if I didn't believe there was going to be a day of account, I was going to have to give an account. Change the way I live. Change my life. It sort of set this course of my life because I knew I was going to have to give an account. God wants to change our identity with the work and the mark of His Holy Spirit. And I know, perhaps all of you, I don't know where you are with the Holy Spirit. I know many of you have already received the Holy Spirit. So, well, I would say continue there because I've received the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but you got to walk it out. You got to keep walking after it. You got to keep walking after. I love that illustration she gave last night. What was that? It's like I got a fire extinguisher. Well, I got the Holy Spirit. Oh, you do? Yeah, I got Him back then. I jumped and I spoke in tongues and I gave glory to God. But you know, if we don't stir ourselves up in that, it's the enabling power of God to communicate His love. Otherwise, I don't get it. Otherwise, I don't get at His holiness. Otherwise, I don't see the Spirit that I'm of. And I don't hear the voice of God saying, get that thing out. Call Him out. Call Him to account. Speak to Him. Be gone. I'm just overrun by the work of the enemy. I gotta have my awareness, my stimulated awareness is stimulated by the work of the Holy Spirit. The identity that He gives. The enemy seeks to steal that identity every day of your life. I talked to a woman the other day and she was grieved over her son who was I think he'd lived, all his boyhood dream was to be a Navy SEAL. Or to be a SEAL. And he was part of an elite unit. And he was a young, probably 20-something Navy SEAL. And something had happened. She couldn't, I don't know that she shared, I'm sometimes too slow sometimes of getting all the details. My wife gets on to me about that. Any men like that? You know, I don't get all the details, but I just know, you know, something happened, you know. She said something happened and it was devastating to him, but he was at once, he had attained his boyhood dream, but now he's sort of busted back and he lost the dream, so to speak. He was still in, but not in the unit. Something happened. She didn't really say, or I didn't get it, but he was grieved. He said, Mom, you know, he grew up in a Christian home. He grew up hearing about the Lord. I know he did. And I don't know where I don't know this young man, but he made a comment to her. She said, you know, my entire life is a failure. I failed. I never accomplished anything, is what he said to her. And I thought, you know, isn't that the lie of the enemy? I said, that's a lie of the enemy to expose that. I know I've lived that lie. You know what I'm saying? The lie of the enemy says you're a failure. You've failed. You've wasted your life. You know, that's the enemy. He wants to hold your entire life in the check of that failure. He wants to hold your entire life to weigh in the balance over something that happened yesterday. And God says, I got new good news for you. And if you're trying to compare your life to yesterday, you're fooling yourself and you're most of all being fooled by the enemy. There's an enemy that seeks to steal the identity that God wants for you, His sons. Turn with me, if you will, to Philippians. I want to share a few scriptures with you, but this one comes to mind. It's in Philippians, and it's in a place where I'm going to share a number of scriptures I hope to, and then make some points here. And you may get there before I do, and if you do, just bear with me. I sometimes get to talk, and then I forgot what I'm supposed to do, and forgot I'm supposed to be looking for the scripture I told you to go to. Philippians 3. But this particular scripture, it's long in about 17, 3 verse 17. He says something like this. He says, I'll back up to verse 16. However, keep living. Let us keep living by the same standard to which we've attained. I'm going to tell you something. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, though you may not necessarily see that in the text. Because God cannot communicate anything to you, will not communicate anything that Jesus was without the Holy Spirit. He's His agent of change. You and I need Him desperately. Desperately, if we're to get a hold of who Jesus is and His identity and what we're supposed to look and live like as sons. However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we've attained. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Paul was the one who urges us to keep in step in Galatians with the Holy Spirit. He's the one who urges that in another book. Observe the pattern that you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Well, stop there. What do you think Paul's weeping? It doesn't really tell us why, does it? We kind of have to left with maybe an inference. You know, he's weeping. Why do you suppose he's weeping? Could he be weeping because there have been a whole host of folks taken captive in their thoughts? Could it be he's weeping because of his brethren, perhaps started out, made a good start, and all of a sudden Jesus said that, you know, but the parable of the sower went out to sow, some seed fell over here, some were choked out by worries and cares, some they got distracted. Could it be that Paul's weeping because their minds had been distracted from something other than the cross of Christ? I think that's it. Turn with me over another scripture over in Colossians that came to mind when I read. It says this over in Colossians verse chapter 2. He says, too long about verse 8. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception. I think what would be understood there. See to it that no one, no thing, no spirit, no philosophical argument, no heady, high-minded argument. Don't see to it that nothing takes you captive. Don't let anything take you captive through philosophy and empty deception. You know, the enemy's empty deception. According to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of this world, or rather than according to Christ. For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in Him you've been made complete. He's the head over all rule and authority. That's what I want you to get. He's the head. The Spirit that He's given to you and me to say, you desperately need and I need to draw in, partake of, receive, walk in. That Spirit is one that's head over all rule and all authority. And you know, we desperately need His move. Holy Spirit, move in our life. So that I could observe the pattern, so that my life is not taken captive with a whole host of other things. See to it that no one takes you captive. He's saying, I don't want your mind to be taken captive with other things, other thoughts, lies of the enemy. That lie that says your entire life's a failure. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes that can be tremendously debilitating. You know, the enemy wants to keep you under that, to keep you from where God wants you to be, to loose you. I want you to see some things about identity. I read all those scriptures because I want you to go to what I think is just our key scripture. That kind of everything sort of revolves around this. I want you to go to 2 Timothy 2, verse 7. You'll know it when you hear it. The King James says it this way, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, for power and of love and of sound mind." I like the way the King James says that, probably better than other translations. For God has not given us a spirit. He's not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. It's a spirit of, I think it'd be fair to say, it's a spirit of power. It's a spirit of love. It's a spirit of the mind of Christ. A sound kind of thing. A sound thinking. So I'm not confused, so that I'm not missing the boat. I'm not listening to the lies of the enemy. You've been listening sometimes. You know, the source of all our problems is because you and I have been listening to the wrong voice. I mean, let's just keep it that simple. Sometimes we think, well, I got different avenues and different ways I've got to go to get from where I go. But let's be real simple how we got there. We got there because we listened to the wrong voice. We got there because we turned our head and a look, and we looked over here and we were distracted. That's how we got there. You know, I dare think that getting back is not much more difficult if, and only if, we got the move of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moves in our heart. And you're looking for the move of God. You're looking for Him to do that in your life because He wants to bring identity in my life. I love this scripture because it helps me understand some things about the Holy Spirit. It gives me, it's like bass. You ever play bass when you're kids? It's the place you come back to. It's bass, right? It's a safe place. Space. This is a safe place for me. I come back to this. You know, sometimes I'm seeing some and saying, well, the Holy Spirit's this and He causes me to do this. Whatever is going on outwardly, it better be making you inwardly holy, because if it's not, it's not the Holy Spirit. If it isn't changing your life, I'm sorry. I don't know what it is you're partaking, but perhaps it's just a religious thing, or it's just something that makes you feel good, but maybe for a season, but perhaps it is the Holy Spirit, but you fail to walk in it. I don't know. But God's saying, I want to give you an identity. The identity of Christ leads me to a sonship, but it is a sonship and identity without fear. That's something you really got to get. His Holy Spirit has nothing to do with fear. It won't have any part of it. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. I want to just stop there for a minute because that's a key. His Spirit is not a spirit of fear. With a spirit of fear, I cannot fully possess. Would you agree with that? You can't fully possess what it is, God, as long as you're timid. long as you're going up, as long as I'm doing this, I can never really get after what it is God wants me. The spirit of fear will not possess. And as long as you got it in your life, as long as I got the spirit of fear on my life and it's governing my life, I'm not really walking with the Holy Spirit in the Holy Spirit like He would have me to walk and possessing what it is my identity and who He tells me I'm supposed to be like. And we all know these things, but you know, the spirit of fear is powerful at times. How many times, I'm just going to read some scriptures to you real quickly. I was amazed to find out how many times, I think this is a big thing. I think it's huge. You mentioned that sometimes one spirit has a whole lot of little things that follow along with it, right? Wouldn't you fair to say? You get the head of the family, guess what? You know what I mean? When the head of the family gets up to leave, everybody else has to go with him. Is that right? Don't ask me why, but the spirit of fear is huge. To be honest with you, I think it's all inclusive if you want to just know the truth about the spirit of fear. What did the spirits do when they came to Jesus? Oh, Jesus, don't. He was trying to cast them. No, Jesus, leave us alone. Command us to go. They were afraid of Jesus, right? Spirit of fear. They're afraid of Jesus. They are afraid of the Holy Spirit, the true, real, holy thing. There's a spirit of fear. It's huge. Why is it Jesus says in Matthew 1:20, or the angel says, do not fear. Matthew, when Jesus is about to run, do not fear. At His birth, at His coming to the shepherds, fear not, right? Matthew 14, take courage, it's I, don't be afraid. Matthew 17:7, get up, it's do not be afraid. I mean, on and on and on you could go. The angel said, do not be afraid. Mark 5, do not be afraid any longer, only believe. He says to the woman who's about to the man rather, who's lost his daughter and she's gone, says, don't bother the teacher anymore. Don't be afraid, only believe. They thought they saw a ghost, and Jesus says, don't be afraid. Over and over. Paul, he says in Hebrews, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. Revelation 1:17 says, do not be afraid, I have the keys to death and Hades. Jesus says, I'll tell you who to fear. I'll tell you who to fear, someplace it says. The point in all of that is, you know, how many times if you look, Jesus says, before He's about to do something great, don't fear. I shared with a woman here just recently on the phone, and was just praying with her, and I didn't know what to say to her. I didn't know really her situation. I know there was some kind of marital thing going on. I don't know. But I felt impressed very strongly, very certainly, based on what we're talking about here today. God says, don't fear. Do not fear. Whatever it is, whatever's got you afraid and worried, it's keeping you from your thoughts of God, who alone can save you and do great and mighty things in your life and set you free. The spirit of fear. The identity of Christ leads me to a sonship. I want you to see something. Turn with me. You can hold your place here, but we'll come back. But turn to Romans, if you will. Romans 8. I think it's 8:15. I read this and it says that He's not given us a spirit of fear. It's important to understand in verse 15. He says, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. That spirit of fear. There's where you and I all are. But I hear the point of that. You've not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit, you know, we need to be in the Spirit. He testifies who we are and what we are. If we truly belong to Him, or are we just kidding ourselves? It testifies us of sin, concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Holy Spirit comes to bring conviction. I desperately need that work, otherwise I miss it. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may be glorified with Him. Do you get that the identity leads me to sonship, but it's a sonship without fear, because fear is what? Slavery. Torment. Fear is slavery. And slavery is not sonship. Get that? Fear is slavery. And as long as I've got that working in my life, I'm a slave. And I'm acting as a slave and not a son. Right? God says, I don't want you to, you know, son. I say to my children sometimes, you know, I see them sometimes, we can be influenced, you had kids, some of you, influenced by the pop culture we live in sometimes, and think, you know, you may like that, if you may like that hat, but to make you look like a chicken, you know, on your head or something, you may like that hat, but I tell you, it doesn't look good on you. And as a father, I'd say, you know, I'd be better take that thing off. It looks kind of stupid on you. It does. The enemy is making a fool of you. You know, and I'm joking. They don't really do that, but not much. Sometimes, occasionally, I've had that thought. Those of you who are parents, But you know, the truth is the Heavenly Father knows what looks best on you and me, doesn't He? And sometimes we listen to the lies of the enemy, and we listen to his fear and torment, and we live in like slaves and not sons. God says, I want you to get that I love you. You're here today because I love you. I hope you get that. God says, I believe God would say that to you. You're here today because I love you. You thought you just got up and wanted to come and came. You're here because I love you. You were drawn by the Spirit of love and Spirit of Christ is why you showed up here. You know what I'm saying? We underestimate what He's done on your behalf. We don't get it sometimes. There's where we live in this natural world like we think we did it. We think it's something that we've got to do. And yet God's saying it's something you need to appropriate. I've already done it. You just need to apply it. You just need to believe it. And stop letting the spirit of fear work and operate in your life and keep you from my image and this sonship I have for you without fear. Heavenly Father, He has an image that makes us, His Spirit makes us uniquely His. You know, as I said of my children, sometimes, you know, I know what looks best on them. And that sometimes could be my own ideal, but, you know, if we back up and we see how the Father sees, I believe the Heavenly Father does know, and He knows what looks best. So my life lived with fear. Instead of sometimes I see us, I wrote this down, I see us sometimes, we're like folks living the lie and missing the dream. Think about it. Living the lie and missing the dream. You know, we wanted to be pretty, and we listened to what Hollywood said, and we looked like, you know, shall we show up looking like the harlot and his men? You know, we wanted to believe, and I say that of men and women. You know, we're listening to what the world says through the enemy and the spirit of this world, and he's got us convinced of the wrong thing, and we're living the lie sometimes. Wonder why we're bound. We're living the lie and missing the dream of what God has for us. It is, in fact, a dream. It's the same thing that God took Abraham out and showed him the stars and says, this I'll do for you. Anybody want to believe on God like that? I think if you're not believing on God like that, you're missing something. I believe you're missing His purpose and His plan for your life if you and I aren't engaged with Him and to that degree. And I need this more in my own life. Just understand I'm not coming from a place of superiority. I'm coming from a place of going, God, I need to come out and look at the stars and behold who you are. And I need to see your precious promises, and I need to hold them, and I need to ask for them. I need to cling to them, and I need to ask for your Holy Spirit to get me there. Because I don't get there without that work of the Holy Spirit, so that I'm not living the lie and wasting the dream that you've given to me. Look at back at Timothy, if you will. And I'll try to move on with this. 2 Timothy 1:7 again. Please turn back. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but He's given us, and I'm using a little liberty here, but He's given us a spirit, because it's understood, the spirit thing. He's given us a spirit of power. Is that right? His is a spirit of power. The identity of Christ is total transformation of power. That's right. He's wanting to transform my life. And if I fall short of that, then I miss His glory. He's wanting, it's total transformation. You know, I think there's some gym thing I see sometimes on TV that talks about total transformation. You know what I mean? They want to totally but it's all about the body. How you look. Looking like the stud, you know, the guy. Looking like the stud, you know, looking like you're really something, but missing what God has for you. God has a different... He wants to totally transform us from the inside out so that we're living different. So, you know, and if we're living different, if our heart's different, I think someone said, if we're living different, if our heart's different, we're going to be different. It's going to come out different. I will be transformed. To be holy, like the Word says, be holy like I'm holy. It's total transformational power. You know, Monty Mulkey said a number of weeks ago, he said, you know something, sometimes in dealing with the enemy, and I like the way he said this, is sometimes in the way dealing with the enemy, sometimes it just seems his own experience that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and receiving the more that the Holy Spirit is being open to the more of the Holy Spirit that He wants to do in your life, it just changes some things. And I agree with that. I think the Scripture bears witness with that. Because we've got the Holy Spirit and we keep looking to get in the power and under the power of the Holy Spirit, it's going to expose some things. It's going to get my life, because He's holy. He's holy. He's not going to dwell with unholiness, and He's got to show and reveal to you what it is you need liberty from. Otherwise, you're just, you and I are rather kind of dumbfounded. I don't know about you, but I've lived a lot of my life that way. You know what I mean? Am I the only one that sometimes you're in a room and folks are talking about something and I'm thinking, man, I'm the only one that doesn't get it. Right? What they're talking about. You know? I don't get what in the world they're talking about. You know? I guess it's just simple things sometimes. I think if you could see sometimes that they'd be like that West Texas pump jack that just kind of went up and down and up and down. That's kind of, I think, sometimes what I got going on there. It's like, don't overload me with details. You know what I mean? Just tell me it can be so. And help me, Lord, help me believe it. The identity of Christ changes my focus. He wants to give me a transformation, a total transformation. It says in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Is that right? Is that what he said to the disciples? You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. He's saying, I want you to stir yourself up so the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Pray for the Spirit of God to come upon you. Pray for a greater revelation of Jesus and who He is. Pray for a greater revelation of holiness. I would say to you, He's probably going to expose some unholy things you weren't willing to look at or couldn't see from your vantage point. He says, I have transformational power and the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Acts 10:38. Turn there with me if you will. Let's read that one. Acts 10:38 says this. Acts 10:38. And I realize that most of you, I think, maybe preaching to the choir when it comes to the Holy Spirit. I think that's so. I just sense the way our worship went. It was really the way our worship was what I envisioned our prayer to look like before. Is that we would engage the Spirit of God and pray for that Holy Spirit to break every off, every yoke. I think we accomplished that. I think it was even said, Tom said when we began, and praise, how important he's trying to say, how important it is, if we need to praise God. How important it is. It causes the yokes and the bands to come off when God works. Acts 10, where did I ask you to go? 10:38 says this. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. Look what happened. Anointed him, look, it was his identity. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. You know, if we're looking to get the devil out, you know, I think that the work of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing, we know that, without the anointing of His Holy Spirit in our life. It's a transformational thing. It's a powerful thing that He wants to bring. Colossians 2:10 says that He was made the head over all rule and authority. The Holy Spirit. It's important. He's not given us a spirit of fear. It's a spirit of power. A spirit of power. I want to transform your life. I want your life to be powerfully energized with my work. I want the power in your life. Hebrews 12:14 says this. Turn there with me if you will. Hebrews 12:14. Someone said to me the other day, yes. The last one was Colossians 2:10. Thank you. Go to Hebrews. Acts 10:38. Colossians 2:10. And I want you to go to Hebrews 12:14. Hebrews 12:14. Someone said to me, I hope you can follow me. I'm not that. Someone said to me after he just came to visit, he said, well, you were all over the place. He said, but I did get something. You know what I mean? He said, you were all over the place. but I got something. I mean, I was really getting to. Sometimes you lost me and I didn't really know, you know, where you were going with that. You were all over the place. And he started telling me about a pastor that he knew that was sort of all over the place. And he kind of said, he would say it in a nice way. He didn't mean to be other. He wasn't trying to be other. He said, but you know, you're worse than him. you were really all over the place. I hope you get what the Spirit of God wants to speak to your heart. You know, that He's communicating to you and me. He brought us here because of the Spirit of love. His is a Spirit of love. It's a Spirit of power. We hadn't even gotten to the love part yet. Totally. But His is a Spirit of power. It says in Hebrews 12:14, pursue peace with all men and sanctification. If you look back, if you will, at verse 9, just a minute. Look at verse 9. It says, furthermore, we had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits? What do you think that is? You think it's Holy Spirit? Father of spirits. He's the King. He is the King. He's the King of every spiritual thing. We'd be subject rather to the Father of spirits and live. And then he says, verse 14, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. It's a sanctifying work that the Holy Spirit does. And you know what? You know, this is just the way I think. You know, and I mean, I'm talking to believers, for those of us who are believers. You know, if you and I aren't going to walk on with the Holy Spirit, I don't know what good it does for you to get the devil out. You know what I'm saying to you? I mean, because if we don't walk with this sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, we miss the boat anyway. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? It's a sanctifying work of the Holy. You know, I think he certainly set men free, but it did so that he had an avenue in his life through which he could work and a testimony he could work through. What did he say to the Gadarene demoniac? And he was bound up, and he set him free, and he wanted Jesus, I want to go with you. But he didn't let him. How come? Because there was a testimony that could only be accomplished through that man's life. Go back to your family and tell everybody in this, that part of the region. He'd have been overshadowed by the greatness of God, just being a disciple, just hanging out with them, keeping his mouth shut. You know what I'm saying? And instead, Jesus told him to go over there. You know, it's about the testimony that he's made to work in you is the only reason why he wants to be interested in setting you free. Boy, Lord, give us a work of your Holy Spirit. Because it's a sanctifying work you do. And you know what my experience is that once you and I are there and we're receivers of the Holy Spirit and we're looking to have that yoke of fear broken off our life to where we're not afraid of coming. We're rushing in knowing it's the only place I'm going to get anything. I'm coming for the work of His Holy Spirit. He's going to sanctify me. There are often times where maybe I'm not hearing God as strong as I used to on something, and it scares me, to be quite frank with you. Well, God, you know, once that convicted me, oh, where's the conviction? Holy Spirit, will you come and bring conviction over that thing and set up a standard in my life and cause me to make some boundaries and cause me to recognize, Lord, where's the place of commitment with you so that I might take a knee and find, like Jacob, a place, Lord, an altar, like Abraham, an altar in your presence where it's the house of God. It's a place where I'm setting up an altar and I'm making commitments to you new and fresh. God's wanting to bring us to that place. So that His identity can be ours. The identity of Christ is transformational power. He wants to transform my life so that there's the sanctifying work in my life, that I don't miss His grace. Look back, if you would, back to 2 Timothy again. He's not given us the spirit of fear. It's a spirit of power, and it's a spirit of love. That's the next idea. The identity of Christ, it changes my focus to live my life because of His love. His identity, His Holy Spirit comes to change my identity so I comprehend His love, and it changes my focus on some things. Isn't that right? He wants to change my focus. My son and I, he came home for Thanksgiving, and we were out one night, and coming back, and he looked up and he said, "Man," he said, I can see all the stars out here." And I was reminded about God's promise to Abraham. And I said, "You know, kind of reminds you of where God took Abraham and He showed him the stars." And He said, "As many as the stars of heaven." I said, "I want to bless you. I'll make you a descendant. I'm going to do that for your life." Yeah. He said, "Yeah, you know, back in the city," He says, "you're doing good if you can see two stars." And isn't that the work of the enemy? To cause us to love the lights of the city. The lights of the city, but they keep us from the stars. We love sometimes that love. It has our focus. It has our attention. The love of the lights of the city keeps us so from the promise made to Abraham that we're made protectors of. That God wants to show us. He wants to do mighty and exceeding the abundant beyond what we could think. He wants to do that in your life. You know, I'm convinced that is what God wants to do in our life. Whether or not you let Him do that is another thing. I like, and I just caught something that Mom had shared with me that you shared, Diane, in the meeting. And I don't know if I'll get it right, but you correct me if I'm wrong. But it was something about all of, you know, when you think of, it reminded me of King David, you know, of committing adultery and murder and covered up. And you see all the horrible things that were done down through the ages. Paul, chiefest of sinners, he participated when others were being killed in murder. And if God did such great things through their life, then now what about you? Is that kind of the way that went? What about you? You think God doesn't want to work in your life that way? And I tell you, He died. He died and gave Himself so that you might get a hold of that, right? And we need to receive that and receive His love, because His love changes the focus of things, and it causes that His love, His spirit of love. You get that? You don't have that. I thought of that song. You know, that song kind of goes something like, "I'm amazed at your love for me. You know, and I thought sometimes that song makes me think sometimes we really don't get it. We don't get the love. And God says, I want you to get it. But he reminded me, you know, how come, God, I don't get it sometimes? I think he was reminded me, you can't get it. You can't get it except by my Spirit. My Spirit's the Holy Spirit. It's a spirit of love. It's not fear. It's perfect love. It casts out fear. And I'm trying to perfect you, sanctify you. I'm trying to get you to hone in on it and to receive of my Spirit that now you can comprehend that I do love you. Hey, I want to work in your life. I don't want your whole life to be governed by your sense of failure. Or not. You know, sometimes we're dictated by what we think of ourselves. That's the driving influence of men's lives. We don't get it. That says, I want to be the driving influence by my transformational power, and I want to drive your life because of my love. Galatians 4:6 is that His Spirit, He's given us to His Spirit by which we cry out, Abba, Father. And it's adoption of sons, right? It's a Spirit He's put in our life if we've truly believed Him and we've received of His fullness. He's saying, I give you my Spirit. It's a heart cry to say, God, wretched man that I am, deliver me from the body of this stuff, this death, this vileness. It's because He takes the vilest of sinners and does remarkable things. If you don't believe that, read the Word. Because He took the vilest of sinners. You know, I said that one time. I wrote a little song that sort of had that little theme to it. And what I was aware of when I wrote the little song was that very thought. God, if it wasn't for you, I never had some big, great, you know, I grew up, you know, my mom grew up taking me from, you know, he was talking about one place to another so I could hear the Word, that I could, you know, God, I'd be, find myself as a kid being under conviction. And we'd go from meetings to meetings sometimes of just hearing from men of God and godly men. And so, you know, I didn't have some big, great testimony. I had to get a little older and figure out, you know what I mean? You're not going to make it on your own righteousness. I had to get a little older to recognize, but still, my testimony would be such as I wrote this little song. I thought, you know, God, if it wasn't for you, if it really wasn't for the thought of knowing that I'm going to have to give an account, if it wasn't for you, I'd be the vilest of offenders. I get around sometimes folks that've been on the street and I'm thinking, you know what? I don't know. I've heard some of my thoughts. I'd be the vilest offender. Don't think you got anything on me just because you've been on the street. Yeah. I would be the worst among, were it not for God and His grace. Were it not for His mercy, were it not for the working of His Holy Spirit, you and I need to receive this Holy Spirit that He says, I offer to you. Mine is not a spirit of fear, but it's a spirit of power and it's a spirit of love to cause you to be in love with me. You know, I said just a minute ago, you came here because of love, whether you realize it or whether you don't. It's because of His love that drew you, whether you realize it or not. Sometimes you and I we can't comprehend God's love because we're comparing it to mother, father, some earthly situation, somebody wiped His feet on you from an A to Z, and you're trying to compare the Father to that. You know what? That's a lying spirit. How dare you? How dare you compare His love to anything on this earth that He's got for you? You and I better partake of His Holy Spirit so you and I comprehend how great is His love. How deep, that there's something about that name, and sometimes I don't even fully know why, but there's something that touches my heart and communicates a love that can break my heart and my will to say, God, I got this thing. I don't even know what it is, but I want it out. I want to be set free from whatever it is that's got a hold. God, I need you. We need that work of brokenness where He comes to the heart. It's a work of love that changes my entire life. I recently went to a wedding and I was impressed as the ceremony was going on. And it was And in that service, I was reminded of something. It was a nephew of mine. And, you know, this is a very athletic young man, very given to athletics. And he was a kind of a star of tennis and some things, and he just was good at everything but suddenly he gets married, and all of a sudden all he can do is sort of look into the eyes of the one he loves. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he sort of, you know, his whole life is about to change because of that love. You know, and I thought, well, that's it. That is the bride. You know, the picture of the bride and groom is a picture of Christ and His church, the Word says. So, you know, that is a pretty good picture, a rendering of what God wants to do in us. I mean, he literally wants you and I to be so smitten by that love, so heartbroken over that love, it's entirely a work of the Holy Spirit. And you and I are going to have to press into asking for. That's what I'm getting at here. We're going to have to press into that. Jesus says it's a persistent thing you ask for, the gift that I give to you. You have to ask for it with persistence. And you get it. I'll give it to you. I'm I'm happy to give it to you. I'm happy to pour it out to you. I'm happy to stir you up in it, and I'm happy to encourage your heart in it. It's an identity that I want to come and change your life because of that love. I want to change your entire course because of that love. God says, I want you to be in love with me. I pray today that you would get, you really would get that you're here because of love, that He really does, that you could hear Him saying, I love you. I love you. And my love for you is greater than anything you think you're going to hang on to. Let it go. He's saying, let it go. If God wants to deal with it, let it go, and you'll come out a freer man, woman. God wants to set you free. He wants you to recognize He has an identity for you. It's an identity, this last thing. He's not given a spirit of fear. It is a spirit of power, of spirit of love. It's a sound mind, a spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that comes to give me, what is that? Doesn't the Word talk about the mind of Christ? Give me the mind of Christ. Spirit. The Spirit gives me the mind of Christ, and I think like He does. You know what? Can I tell you, that's ownership and not slavery. When you think like the owner, you start thinking like the owner, guess what? It changes your... And I don't mean a swagger. I mean a broken compassion for people. You know, it should change our life. But the identity of Christ really brings me sound thinking, and it wants to take me out of the fog of confusion. Do you find yourself there sometimes in a fog of confusion? That the Spirit of God wants to bring us out of the fog where the enemy seeks to, you know, songs we sung. I want to reclaim what He stole back from me. The enemy's a thief, and he's looking to steal your identity. He's the identity thief before anybody ever thought about that. He's the identity thief. Still, he's working to steal your identity. Through discouragements, through past hurts, he wants to steal your purpose. Some of you are here because of past things, past hurts. And maybe you say, maybe all of us are here. I mean, you know, God just says, I want you to find your identity in me so that you don't live your life in the fog of confusion and you miss your purpose that I have for you. Don't live the lie, you know. You know, sometimes I think we live that lie where, just like that young man, sometimes we find ourselves older and life didn't turn out like we thought it did. There were hurts. You know what the enemy can really do in that if your focus is not on the Lord? If you're not viewing glory like God says, it causes you to go, this really wasn't too fruitful. You know, this lack of fruit I'm seeing is really the real deal. You know, and that's all there is. And it's just, so I might as well give up. And you just give up, you let down on God, you sit down, and God's saying, I want more for your life. You know, sometimes I see my life just personally. You know, it's easier for me to feel good about myself when I feel like a success. You know what I'm saying? When you feel like a blazing success, boy, you work the room, man. It's a great deal. You know what I'm saying? You feel good. You know, you feel good. You know, I was in a class one time that teaches you to feel good about yourself, and I don't necessarily disagree with that. But God's got a better way. Feel better about yourself. It's better about His glory and who He made you to be. It's better. Your life's better in His identity. You're gonna look a whole lot better with His identity. You're gonna feel a whole lot better. The enemy's got us convinced with a lie. If I'm a success of the world now, I can be driven by that thing which I think I am, and I'm really not. Whether that's successful or unsuccessful, it's still a lie of the enemy. God says, I want to expose that lie of the enemy. I want to expose that to bring you to a sound thinking so that you rise above the funk of the enemies and his lies and the confused place that he has for you, so that you and I might prevail with him. I want you to think on something. You know, there was a place in John where Jesus said to his disciples, he said he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit, and he breathed on them, they received the Holy Spirit. The move that changes their life. The move of change. There was a place where he says over in Acts that it was the anointing that brought power to heal. I had a number of scriptures that I don't think I want to take the time to read there. But the point, we know from one instance in that particular place, some of those scriptures were Cornelius, the Holy Spirit was poured out. You know, he's poured out by the laying on of hands, but in that particular instance, the Holy Spirit was just, and in some sense, that's my desire of the room, that God would pour out His Holy Spirit on us this morning. You know, the whole room, while Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on all of them, and they received the Holy Spirit just as He did with them. You know, so what I'm trying to say is it's I don't know either or, it's both and. He works and moves how He works, and my desire this morning is that you and I are receivers of the Holy Spirit. And first of all, that you know, I sometimes wondered which to get at first, because I think he wants to deal with that yoke of fear, you know, because you know, we cut off the yoke of fear, and I think, well, maybe one needs to come before the other. I don't, you know, to be honest with you, I think maybe it's more of a simultaneous thing. You know the truth about it? You know, it's the work of the Holy Spirit and the receiving the Holy Spirit that breaks off the yoke of fear in the bondage. But nonetheless, there's a yoke of fear he wants to remove this morning. Are you carrying that yoke of fear? I mean, it's bondage. It's slavery. It's not thinking like a son. And God says, I brought you here because I loved you. I hope you get that. I said that once before. I brought you here because I love you. I care for you, he's saying to you. I believe you want me to say that to you. I wrote this down. I got up out of bed last night and I wrote this down. It said, I believe you want me to say to you, do not fear. I have given you my spirit of power. I've given you my spirit of love. I give to you a sound mind. And I'm saying, take possession of your field. Take possession of your field and of your land by in sanctification and honor, 1 Thessalonians 4:4 says. In sanctification and honor, I would have you possess that field. Like a son or a daughter of my love and not a common slave. That's not His will for any person in this room. He wouldn't want you thinking like a slave. He says, I want you to come away from all of those thoughts and to recognize I loved you. I break down the barriers and the dividing walls, and I'm calling you up to a place higher with me, and I want you to receive my Holy Spirit. That the yoke be removed in Jesus' name. That the yoke would be removed. That spirit of fear, so that heavy-duty spirit of fear, you'd be surprised to know what all else might go along with it when He leaves. I want you to stand with me, and I want us just to speak to that spirit of fear. And while we're doing it, I want to ask everybody to stand. I want to ask you to raise your hands and be open to what God would do. Be open to the work of the Holy Spirit. I want you just to receive from Him. We're going to ask Him to break off the yoke of fear, that yoke of slavery, that yoke that's got us in bondage. But at the same time, He might impart His Holy Spirit to sort of make that transfer. But you speak, you pray, you have liberty, and we're done after that. But I want us just to pray. Lord, we just thank You. We bless You. We thank You that Lord Jesus, You spoke to the Spirit and You said, get away from me. And in Jesus' name, we speak to that spirit of fear, that yoke of slavery. We cut it off in Jesus' name. We release it in Jesus' name. We speak to it and tell it to be gone. We thank You, Lord God, that Your Spirit is a spirit of power. It's a spirit of sound thinking, of knowing who You are. And we thank You that, Lord, You're over all rule and authority, and You give us authority to say, be cut off in Jesus' name. Be separated from us in Jesus' name. And Lord, we loose the power of Your Holy Spirit. We ask You, Holy Spirit, come fill us, come baptize us with the fullness of Your Spirit. Yes. Lord, that we're receiving from You. That we receive, and we ask You in Jesus' name, you would move in our heart, move in our life, new and fresh. Lord, I'm not gonna put or assume upon to you what I think that needs to be. But I know, Lord, when You moved in my life, one man said to me, wouldn't have the faith to believe in God to baptize you with His Holy Spirit. You wouldn't have the faith. And it was a day or two later, I thank You, Lord, that the Holy Spirit fell in my life. Thank You and praise You for the move. So we're receivers now here. What, no matter what does or does not take place, we thank You that there's many folks who've already believed on You and received, Lord, of Your fullness. But Lord, right now, if there's one that hasn't, we receive from You. For all of us, Lord, we receive the fullness of Your Holy Spirit. We want to ask You for the move of God that changes our life. The move of our God that breaks off every yoke of oppression and keeps us free, that works, that brings sanctification in our life, that constantly brings to our remembrance those things that need to be gone in Jesus' name. That we're people who receive, not who resist. We want to receive. We thank You for that. We thank You for the Holy Spirit. And we receive. We ask You for that. Now in fullness, we thank You for what You did. We thank You for what You do. We thank You for Your life. We thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your love for us. In Jesus' name, expose every lie that says You don't love. Expose that for what it is, that it is in fact a lie. And Lord, all comparisons of You, that You were compared to any earthly person, mother, father, anything that would tie that love to some image that we have in the natural, I cut that and break it in Jesus' name. Be gone from us. Be gone from that person in Jesus' name. Lord, we loose Your Holy Spirit to cause us to see, Lord, that Your love for us is great. Confer that on us and speak to us by Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for Your work. Thank You for the Holy Spirit. Lord, we just bless You this morning for that. I pray that every person that's a receiver would receive more. but more to be given. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. In Jesus' name, we ask You for the fullness. We ask You for the overflow. We ask You for the purpose, Lord, that You want to accomplish through our life, that we wouldn't miss You because of the lie. We thank You and we praise You. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.